And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, who are the believers, haqqan, and really? He says, الَّذِينَ when إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts are affrighted, quake. And so our hearts are jaded. And the reason is that we are saturated by things that we have no need for whatsoever. And this is plain. And so I accuse the muftis who say, okay, kids, go to it. It's halal. I found a fatwa from Hadramaut. I found a fatwa from Hudaydah. I found a fatwa with some of the Maliki scholars from the Mutaakhirin in Andalus said this and this and this. When we have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about ma'azif, about musical instruments, this is where you should draw the line in your deen. And so that you end up with some deen. The instinct for music that is in the human heart can be met and it can be augmented and it can be gratified by choral music, by verbal music, by music that's unaccompanied by musical instruments. So why not draw the line where the Prophet ﷺ drew it? And there are other hadiths, about 8 of them, about musical instruments. And so you want to find a fatwa, you can find a fatwa. And as the Shaykh expressed it, وَالْمُعْتَمَدْ أَنَّهَا حَرَامٌ, Shaykh Abdurrahman said, in the reliable position, reliable for your ruh, reliable for your deen, reliable for what you'll say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you meet Him, Yawm al-Qiyamah, yeah, I found this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and so I followed it. This is what one should say. So where is the line drawn? The line is drawn with the unaccompanied, by music that is unaccompanied. Be a musicologist like Shaykh Abdurrahman was. He had the tabaqat, the maqamat, inshad, new tunes that for the qasidas. They're very beautiful and the qasidas distill the essence of a person's spiritual experience into a few finely distilled drops of what the person found after 40 years of work. They're incomparable. They have a tremendous weight when one understands what they're getting at. These qasidas, they're tremendous. And so, and let alone the rhythms and the cadence of the Qur'an. And so, you know, I can only advise that one follow the stricter position, because the stricter position is that which will make the ruh grow and will be. And so this is what I found the Sheikh Abdul Wakil al-Durubi scathing. He said, yeah, so-and-so visited us. He named some of some Western, quote, Sufi that came and visited during the 1950s to Damascus. And he said, he had us come over to his house and there were musical instruments there. He said, we asked him about them and he started repeating some of the words of the Zanadiqa, of the heretics. That Allah created everything after all, and so forth and so forth. So this is of the taqwa that one has to have. The Ottoman muftis made exceptions to the tahrim of musical instruments for something. We've discussed these. The military bands, the Ottomans, when they were going forth to cut off the heads of the kafirs in jihad, they had the drum, for marching and so forth, and the military band blazing away to raise the hymn of the troops. And so some of the Ottoman muftis said, okay, this is a decent cause. It's not lahu, because they're Hanafis, and the edla, as we mentioned, in the Hanafi madhab, is that it's yulhi, it's lahu. It distracts from worship of Allah. And here, because it had the opposite effects, they said, okay, let's have the military band because it was consonant with the Hanafi usul on the question. But they did not, the Hanafi usul did not talk about the hadith in Bukhari. Yeah. So, but rather the other hadith, "Kullu ma yalhu bihi rajul muslim wa batinu." And others in the times of the, when the sheikh of the Maulavis, of the Mevlavis, crowned the sultan, invested him, the new sultan, because they had such a regard for tasawwuf. It's interesting that the Ottomans were exalted Sufism more than any other. And they had 600 years of power instead of the 200 of their nearest competitors among the other Islamic states. But they, one of the things they did was they exalted the position of the tekiyas, of the zawiyas, and of the sheikhs. And the sheikh of Mevlevis actually invested the sultan with his office when he took office.
And the sword was given the sword.
What's that?
The investiture was given the sword.
Yeah, giving him the sword. And so he, I know, so at this time, the Mevlevis, they had the sama' with musical instruments, which Jalaluddin Arumi also, consonant with the Hanafi usul about the reason for it, he said, well, these Turks are no good at spiritual rigors and austerities, and so we'll give them the sama' that has musical instruments in it. Or some of the later people perhaps inaugurated the use of the musical instruments. I'm not sure how it went. But the Ottoman muftis also validated this for the same reason that they validated the military bands, that the sama', and it was done only by about the whirling of the whirling dervishes, was done only by about 110 of the dervishes out of the whole tariqa, and the tariqa was extremely vast and huge. It was not something that occurred at every single place where the people met. And so they had a band also, the Mevlevis, at some point of their history. I don't know whether Jalaluddin Rumi's time or not. I suspect not. But they had musical instruments, and the Ottoman muftis also validated this. And their fatwa is, in this point, I considered unacceptable. I consider unacceptable. Because in our times, you can't say, well, if it's for the Sufis, it's halal, but if it's for everybody else, it's haram. You know, it doesn't work. And finally, you know, say, well, I listen to classical music, and so, well, what about little sister when she wants to listen to, you know, the Stones or whoever's in this year singing about dope sex and cheap thrills? And she turns to you and you've got your classical music because you've got your fatwa from this website or that website or this modernist or that modernist. How are you going to tell her this is new? And she said, well, you're listening to your stuff. Let me listen to mine. You've validated what she's doing. And so this is the reason why the line for the sake of the deen should be drawn with the hadith of Bukhari, that the music that is unaccompanied by musical instruments, this is the music that should be adopted and promoted. Nothing wrong with it. And the duff also. Duff has not been used in the Shadli Hadra because it tends to level the qasidas. You can't hear it tends to have an adverse effect. But this is some of the things that we can mention. And alhamdulillah wa shukri Allah. I've answered the question before, but it's important. So get rid of the records and get rid of the recordings and don't fill your mind with rubbish or you'll never hear the inimitable symphony of the Qur'an. You won't be able to attach your heart to the divine. The rhythms of nature, everyone is completely oblivious to them. They don't know what they sound like, and they don't appreciate the realities that are there because they're locked into a virtual hell that they think is paradise. It's a fool's paradise. And so the muftis who have said, go to it, go listen to the music, they don't understand there's a man, and they don't understand the first of the masalih al-mursala, which is deen. The deen, where is the deen supposed to be? It's supposed to be in the hearts. And the deen will not come into the hearts as long as they're plugged with this other stuff. And so don't touch it with a stick. and don't touch it with a pole, and stay away from it entirely, and your life will be richer. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Sorry, I have to. That's why I was dismayed when I saw the question, because I knew I'd have to expound it at some length. But this is what I heard from my sheikh, and I've never found anything but tawfiq from listening to the things that he said. He said, "Mu'tamad annaha haram." Says the reliable position is that they're haram. Haram means haram, and it doesn't mean there's nobody that. Well, so-and-so is a big name, so-and-so is a big usuli, and he listens to music. What about their heart? Fiqh reputations don't mean a person is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A CD disc can memorize more books than they can commit to memory. Where's the taqwa? Taqwa, what is the wadith in fiqh? A wadith in fiqh is not someone who's got ijazah this and ijazah that and memorize this and memorize that. Imam al-Ghazali, what does he say? He says of the marks of the ulama of the akhir, he names 12 of them. And about the second to the last one that he mentions in this very seminal, very central, the most central section of the Ihya al-Numuddin, very essence of his manifesto in the book. He says the marks of the ulama of the akhir is that يَعْتَمِدُ فِي عُلُومِهِ عَلَمَا يُدْرِكُهُ بِصَفَاءِ قَلْبِهِ. That the person depends in his knowledge upon what he perceives with the purity of his heart. La ala suhafi wa kutubi wa taqlidu ma yasma'u min ghayrihi. Not upon treatises and books and imitating what he hears from somebody else. And so somebody was a colossal faqih and he said this. If he doesn't understand the effect of music on the heart and that virtual things, it's different to look at the difference between a fatwa about going to a hadra in Hadramaut with a nay following the call of Imam Rafi instead of Imam Shafi or Imam Nawawi, which is the more sounder position, the shepherd's flute. Somebody who goes to that once a week between Maghrib and Isha, is it somebody who's plugged in all the time, by day and by night? And look at the situation that those fuqaha envision doesn't apply to our own situation. Total entertainment. Now, the situation is much different. My older brother, who's not a Muslim, his family, his little girl, who's not so little anymore, studying a master's at UCLA in communications. He says, what's the news in communications? Now, the news in communications is that nobody on the campus of UCLA is communicating with anybody. They're all plugged into their iPods. She says, wonder of wonders. Another theft of reality by virtual reality. So the Sa'id among the Fuqaha and among the others is someone who understands his Zaman. And by taqwa, by practicing taqwa, and saying the line is here, and I don't go past that. This is where the effect, it has the effect that it's supposed to have on the heart. And what is the effect is that you find the presence of Allah in one's dhikr, and in one's Qur'an, and in one's hajj, and in one's salat. And someone who is not like this, they don't know what they're talking about when they start talking about films and music and go to it, usuli this and ijazah this and so forth. They don't know the first of the masalih and mursala, which is the deen. And the deen is the ahkam, a deen center around the heart. And what is the heart? It means it's tied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you draw people, I'm just making it easy for people. You're making it easy for them to go to hell. Because they'll get farther and farther from Allah the more that they listen to the Stones or the Fugs or whoever's in this year and the musical bands. As-salallahu tawfiq wa taysir. They don't get it. This has led me to my conclusion that the only person who deserves to be termed a faqih is the person who has met a wadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Awareth, meaning someone who has the hal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in addition to having the knowledge, some of the knowledge. No one has all the knowledge of the Prophet. Each Awareth only has some. But the true faqih is the one who has met Awareth. In other words, a person who is hadir in their salats. Prestige about being the big faqih, being the big asuli, being the mujtahid al-asr, doesn't come into their minds. Because Allah comes into their minds. And Allah is akbar than all of that. This is the hal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And someone who has not met a wareth and taken this into their heart is not a wareth of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam. They have to have met a wareth and said, this is a wareth, and I'm willing to spend the cheap and the expensive in my days and my nights and my years to become like this person. If they've merely gone around here and ijaza this and read that book and gone here and met so-and-so and so-and-so said this. If they haven't been engaged to emulate and to absorb the hal of the heart that is tied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Prophet's heart was tied and doesn't care, zahid, about prestige, zahid, about being mujtahid al-asr, zahid, about whether people stand up or sit down. Zahid and all of these things. This is the person who is the faqih. Innam al-faqihu. As Dalami relates from Hasan al-Basri with the Sahih chain of transmission, from al-Minqari, Imran, al-Minqari, one of the narrators of Bukhari, he said, Sa'altu Hasan yawman fi shay'in qalahu. I asked Hasan al-Basri one day about something he had said. قلت يا أبا سعيد ليس هكذا يقول الفقهاء. I said, oh, Abu Sa'id Hassan, his kunya. He said, that's not what the fuqaha say, what you just said. Call wayhaka. He says, woe unto you. وَرَأَيْتَ فَقِيهًا أَرَأَيْتَ أَنْتَ فَقِيهًا قَطْ. Have you ever seen a faqih? إِنَّمَا الْفَقِيهُ الزَّاهِدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Verily the faqih is but someone who is unattached to worldliness. Al-raghibu fil akhirah, who is attached to the akhirah. That's his whole point. Wal al-akhirah khayrun laka min al-ula. That's his whole point. His heart is his whole point. How is your heart with Allah today at Salat al-Subh? With your dhikr, with your comings, with your goings. This is his point. Al-raghibu fil akhirah, the one who is attached to the akhirah. Al-basir bi amri dinihi, the insightful. In the matter of his deen, he knows why the first of the Sharia countenance interests for which exceptions to the Sharia are made by people giving fatwas. Why the first one is deen, and what deen is. It's a relationship with Allah. Al-basir fi amri deenihi, al-muqbilu ala ibadati rabbihi. And the one who is drawing nearer, his point is worship. What he does is worship. It's not conference this, and it's not published work that, but rather it's the worship of his Lord. The only interest that he has in the conference is that it's worship. The only interest that he has in that book is that it's worship. We call him Mujahid, the student of Ibn Abbas. He said, "Innama al-faqihu man khaf Allah." He said, "The faqih, the only one who is the faqih, who is the scholar of fiqh, is the one who's afraid of Allah. When out of Allah, khafa minhu." Nasallahu alaihi wasallam. Sorry, I've gone over long. Alhamdulillah wa shukriya.